better sacrifice. Our study will commence with Hebrews 9:6 and go through 10:18. Now, Paul continues, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went continually into the first, accomplishing the service. Their work was continual. The Old Testament term is tamid. They did it day by day by day. But into the second, Holy of Holies, the high priest alone went once every year with blood, which he offered for himself and for the people. Now we have seen when Jesus validated his self-offering. Now he is ready to work for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying, showing, demonstrating, illustrating by means of signs, that the way into the holies, into the sanctuary, or the holiest of all, is supplied. This is simply ton hagion. Into the sanctuary was not yet made manifest while the first tent or tabernacle was standing. That's the Mosaic one, which was a figure for the time then present, an illustration. A parable is what the word is. In which are offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining the conscience. Now he's lifting the ritual worship into another area. These gifts and sacrifices, non-bloody and bloody, were unable to affect the conscience. Only in meal offerings and drink offerings and divers washings and bodily ordinances for the time then present, waiting for the Reformation. But Christ, being come, high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, but made with God, not of this building, but in the heavens, neither by the blood of goats and calves. These are the offerings that you see from Leviticus 16, were used on the Day of Atonement, the calves for the high priest himself, the goat for the people, but by his own blood entered once for all into the holy place, Ahagia, sanctuary, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats on the Day of Atonement, the ashes of a heifer with which the high priest needed to be sprinkled, sanctified the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who, through the Spirit, offered himself to God without spot. Now here is Christ, the Spirit and God. Purge your conscience. See, in verse 9, the conscience couldn't be cleaned. But the provision that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have made through the death of Christ can cleanse our conscience. Dead works to serve the living God. Those dead works are found in Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3, dead in trespasses and sins. And for this cause, he, Jesus, is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, his death, for the redemption of transgressions under the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. So Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, that through his death, those who are called might might inherit eternal life. For where a covenant exists, there must of necessity be the death of the victim through which the covenant is made. Now this term testator is only found here. And we need to go to the 15th chapter of Genesis to see how God made a covenant with Abraham. God was one side, Abraham was another side. There was death. Death of lambs and goats and bulls and birds. Without that death, no covenant was possible. Death lay at the foundation of the ratification of the covenant. So there can be no covenant without death of the basis, the victim given through which the covenant is made. Chapter 8, verse 10. The victim through whom the covenant is made. It's only because Jesus died that the new covenant can be made. For the covenant is of force after death. Man is supplied after death. It is of no strength at all while the victim lives. Even the first covenant needed death. For when Moses had spoken every precept of the law, he took blood of calves and goats and water and scarlet and hyssop and sprinkled book and people with the blood and said, This has become, ginomai, the blood of the covenant which God hath enjoined. So, bulls, goats, heifers, birds, dead victims for ratifying covenants, all pointed to Jesus Christ's death. And without that death, there could be no ratification of a covenant. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood the tabernacle, and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are, according to the law, kata, purged, cleansed, in blood. N. And without the shedding of blood, no remission becomes, comes about. It was therefore necessary that the type Tupos, of the things in heaven, that is, the things on earth, should be purified with animal blood, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these, that is, the blood of Jesus Christ. For Christ didn't enter into the holy places or the sanctuary made with hands, which are figures, anti-tupos, anti-type, of the real, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer for himself, often, as the high priest goes into the sanctuary every year with the blood of others. That's on the Day of Atonement. For then must Jesus have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the age, hath he appeared to put away, to lay aside, sin by his own sacrifice. And it hath appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. Appointed, determined. So Christ was once offered, bear the sins of many, Unto them that look for him shall he come a second time, without sin unto salvation. So there is an appointed time for Christ to die. There is an appointed time for the judgment. And following the appointed judgment, Jesus Christ will return a second time without sin unto salvation. Now notice the sequence of events, the eschatology of what he is saying in verses 27 and 28. Previous to this, the apostle has shown the methodology. Now he is emphasizing the eschatology. He is trying to tell us what will take place. Jesus Christ will die, Calvary. Jesus Christ will ascend to the throne on the day of ascension. Jesus Christ will minister in the real tabernacle which God pitched and not man. There is an appointed time for the judgment, krisis, the process. And following the appointed judgment, Christ will come a second time. So there is a ministry in the sanctuary that culminates in a judgment, that culminates in the return of Jesus Christ a second time. Having established this eschatology, Paul continues with an emphasis on what happened on the Day of Atonement. The daily service didn't finish with sin, because there was a remembrance made every year of the sins that had been committed. Verses 1 to 3. If it had been possible to take care of it once for all, it would have been done. But it wasn't possible to take care of it. And so Jesus Christ came into the world to offer the four kinds of sacrifices mentioned in Leviticus 1 through 5. Sacrifice, offering, burnt offering, and sin offering. But really he came not to establish those offerings, but to do God's will. Verse 7. Because God didn't want sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. He wanted somebody to do his will. And when Jesus Christ had carried out his will, in verse 9, he did away with the sacrifices and the offerings and the burnt offerings and the sin offerings. And by this will, verse 10, we are sanctified through the offering of Jesus Christ once and for all.